Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Hotbody Doss and pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
I rushed through my introduction there, sorry.
Yeah, you did.
I know that you get away after we've done this episode.
I do, but we mustn't let the listeners know that we are just in a hurry to get this over and done with. Because then they'll feel shortchanged. This is on the podcast they fucking pay for.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, we've got all the time in the world. Don't worry about my schedule for the day. It's not important. What's important is you listening to us talk about Pinocchio.
Shall I start that again then, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
Very theatrical. You sound like Donald Sinden.
Thank you very much.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. Say what?
Yeah, right. Yeah, whatever. Right, Pinocchio. Now I've sat and watched the film last night, or the hour or so
that you hadn't seen yet
that remained from the entrance of Honest John.
Okay.
So there we go. I've now seen the whole thing. So we talked a bit.
How much about Honest John did we talk about last time?
We didn't. We just got to the Honest John appears. And then
the first thing you hear is him singing, "Hey diddly dee, an actor's life for me. Hey diddly dum, an actor's life is fun."
That just makes you want to be a thespian, doesn't it?
It really does. I did have aspirations I had theatrical aspirations when I was a lad, and I think that was in no small part due to Honest John, who just seemed to be living his best life.
I never did. I've never had any desire to perform, but now that I've done it, doing live shows with your good self and with Mince, I fucking love it. I really love it. I'd love to do more stuff.
I used to love it at school.
Do you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to do Panto.
Yeah.
Oh.
Imagine, it'd be so much fun, and the money is amazing, apparently.
Yeah. So I hear. Depends on your role, I suppose. If you just,
you know,
like,
Blobby is in Panto and Milton Keynes, and someone tweeted it to us and said, oh, you know, you should go and watch this as a joke. And I actually thought, do you know what? Milton Keynes, not that far. I actually would quite like to go and see Mr.
Sam,
Blobby in a...
You could do that for the matinee performance. You could be up there for 2 p.m.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
And then home for tea.
I mean, the thing is, there's no way it's not going to be funny. I mean, I've been to Panto before, and usually they're quite disappointing, right?
Yeah.
From my experience. But if Blobby's involved in it to any degree whatsoever, you know there's going to be a bit where he just comes on and reaps havoc.
Smashes everything.
And that's
up.
Always going to be funny, isn't it? Because the idea would be he fucking just ruins everything. That's basically what he does, isn't it?
I don't know which theatre is it at Milton Keynes. Obviously, it'll be a new one because Milton Keynes itself is new.
Yeah.
It won't be a really old traditional theatre. But I wonder if it's got a Royal Box and we could get 2 tickets for the Royal Box and we could meet up there.
Yeah,
Milton
great.
Keynes
that
could
be our
bit...
Christmas treat to each other.
Yeah, I could be a Milton Keynes in 3 hours. You can do it in about 2, probably.
Probably less than 2. I think it's like an hour and a half or something.
Wow.
To Milton Keynes.
Yeah, it all depends on whether we can be arsed or not. I suspect not.
I've got a cousin who lives in Milton Keynes as well. I could pop in and see him. He's extraordinarily rich.
Wow!
So obviously, I'm really looking to sort of cultivate more of a close relationship.
Have I mentioned that I'm extraordinarily rich?
Oh no, he's the worst sort of rich cousin. He's really like modest and humble and nice. So you can't even resent his wealth.
Mm. Are you allowed to tell us how he got his wealth? Was it
He's
inherited?
A corporate lawyer.
Wow.
He's extraordinarily clever. Went to a normal state school, but went to Oxford because he was so clever. Yeah. And then just, I don't know, just fucking got a degree. I don't know what in. But he was so talented. It was basically like, right, take your pick. You can basically do whatever you want because you, like, you're the cleverest kid in the fucking cleverest university. Oh, no, maybe he went to Cambridge. I don't know.
Right.
And then he, so he thought, fuck this, I'll become a corporate lawyer. And
yeah, good stuff.
And he's really rich and he lives in Milton Keynes. I think it's because he's met, I wasn't invited to his fucking wedding. I think he got married. Right, this is how far down the... You've got to understand my family, there's fucking hundreds of us cousins-wise, right? So it's easy to, like, you know, I stayed... The only one, the cousins I'm closest to are the other ones who were just really into drugs and drinking. That's like... So I got in with the
From
wrong
your
ones.
People.
The ones that we're sort of... Who've remained close for life is because we've taken so much drugs with each other in the 90s, right? And then we're all still mates, but we've all got mental health problems now, right?
Oh,
and
so you've still got a connection.
Yeah, exactly. So now we can share, like, our mental health issues with each other, or, like, you know, you'll get a call from someone in another continent saying, oh, look, how did you give up cocaine?
I need
a bit of advice, right? That's the nature of
demons.
My inter-cousin relationships. I should be in with the bloke living in a fucking mansion in Milton Keynes. I didn't even get a wedding invite.
I'm in a forest in Bulgaria trying to reset me demons. Where do I start?
Hello, is that rich cousin Joe? Yeah, listen, listen, Joe, I was thinking me and the kids could come round your mansion at the weekend for a bit of dinner or something. What do you reckon, for old time's sake? No, it's Sam. Sam Delaney. Sam Delaney, your cousin. Fuck me. Well, I mean, I don't know, I thought we could stay. You've probably got, I've seen your house on fucking Instagram. You seem to have plenty of spare rooms. Me and the kids will come for the weekend, shall we?
We're going to be in town. We're going to watch Mr. Blobby in Panto.
You come along if you want. We might get the royal box.
What?
What? I am one of Britain's top corporate lawyers. Who is this? Don't be like that. Remember the old times at Christmas?
Yeah. I've got some lad coming down from the north as well. He'll be amusing.
Andy Dawson, his name is. Go on, Google him. He's a great lad. He'll stay too.
I think he's got
his
face.
Now, he's got a dog. He's called Oscar. Now, that's going to have to come. But I'm telling you, it's an indoors dog, as I understand it. So you won't be able to tie it up outside. It'll have to, I mean, presumably it can have its own room. It's... As I understand it, Oscar is house trained. However, he may get anxious being away from home. So there is a small problem. He may shit in your mansion. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I'll get my kids to clean it up.
I've seen pictures of it, and I don't know if this is like a legally binding or applicable term, but it looks like a woman's dog.
Is that going to be a problem? No. Oh, there's other problems you've got. Okay, fine. I understand. This has maybe come a bit out of the blue. But, yeah, no, it's fine. Whatever you are concerned about, I'm sure we can smooth it over.
Well, good luck with that.
Fucking rich cousin who doesn't even give me the time of day just because I'm scum.
But it turns out he's a secret listener of this podcast. He'll be in touch and be reunited.
Nah, he'll be listening to, like, one of those podcasts that CEOs listen to, like the 5-Minute Billionaire.
Yeah.
Only listen to this podcast in a pitch black room at 4 a.m, just after you've had your goji berries and done your Pilates. Be one of them. That's what the high-class elite individuals listen to, not this shit.
Yeah.
That you don't get high class individuals, elite, what, top 0.1%ers listening to Top Flight Time Machine talk about fucking Pinocchio. I mean, I've got that Masterclass app, right? And I watched Iger, the head of Disney, talk through his day, and it's fucking extraordinary, right? Mm-hmm. But he's like, yeah, I get up, but I'm always in really casual things. He says, like, I always get up around 4 a.m. and I do all my emails. And then I work out in a pitch black room. I have a gym, but I have no lights in it. So this sort of fucking insanity that he says as if, yeah, just normal. Mm. What he doesn't say is there's a fantastic British podcast called Top Flight Time Machine. There's two guys. One, they both have strange voices. They like to talk about ghosts a great deal, sometimes horses. They are big fans of the film Pinocchio, which, of course, is a Disney film. That's how I was first alerted to the existence of this podcast.
I felt as though there could be a copyright issue. I felt as though there was money to be made, but yeah, it turns out that we
intend to sue them. First, I'm listening to their entire back catalogue in order to be fully au fait with their output before we see them in court.
I've got a lawyer in Milton Keynes, who I believe is the best in the business. I'm going to sue them into oblivion.
And I'm going to use his own cousin to do it. Imagine that.
I get off on it. Whenever I'm going to sue someone, I always do my research and find out if they've got a family member who I can involve some way. It makes it more personal for me. I enjoy it. So,
Honest John comes along, and what do you start thinking to yourself?
Well, he was this cunt, basically, and that's what he is, isn't it? You know, he's watching the kids on their way to school. He picks up a cigar butt off the ground with his walking stick and sticks it in his mouth. So he's not a man of means.
He's got very strong Top Cat vibes, hasn't he? In that he's living off his wits.
He's not a man of means because he's nicking cigars off the ground. He's full of shit, isn't he? And he sees the Stromboli marionette show poster. Stromboli becomes an important part of this story shortly. And he goes, Stromboli, that old rascal's back in town, eh?
Stromboli.
Another one of my associates who I can collaborate with. And the Pinocchio dances past them. And Honest John goes, a little wooden boy.
That's really normal.
Yeah. He does like a double tick. He goes, a wooden boy! A live puppet without strings! So he's just looked at Stromboli's marionette poster, and then just seconds later, the cosmos delivers.
He's thinking to himself, fucking hell, things are coming together here. This is a sign. 1 minute, I'm seeing the marionette shells back in town. The very next second, I see a fucking walking, talking wooden kid.
Finally, everything's coming up on us, John. And, so, obviously, he's going to sell the boy to Stromboli. And then there's a great line after that. He says, if we play our cards right, we'll be on Easy Street. I love the idea of Easy Street.
Yeah, well, I think that these two lads, I think they appeal to us and to everyone. They're just to him and his mate, who is a mute cat.
Called Gideon,
Called Gideon. It is true that, he's not a man of means, but he doesn't care. He's decided to live a life whereby he hustles the good life.
He's an opportunist,
Opportunist, yeah. And and he's got a huge amount of charisma, like a lot of opportunists. You know, there's shades of Top Cat, Del Boy, Arthur Daly, all the greats.
Yeah, and of course, Pinocchio's been sent on his way to school by Geppetto, armed with an apple for the teacher and a book for some reason. Yeah. And what is it he does? Honest John trips over Pinocchio and then picks him up, dusts him down, apologises, and starts eating his apple. He takes his apple off and starts eating it.
I love that.
But then he gets his book as well and starts reading the book, but it's upside down.
Oh, this is one of my favourite lines, what he says when he sees the book. It's so funny.
An idiot.
What does he say? He says something like, so, a man of matters.
Something like that. He says, haven't you heard of the easy road to success? I don't even know if Pinocchio knows what success is. Pinocchio was basically born 24 hours ago.
He's got no concept of success. This is a line that, me and Lena are obsessed with, is, a man of matters. So, you haven't heard of the easy route to success?
Yeah.
Like, as if to say, oh, I see, oh, that's funny. You think that getting an education is necessary. How amusing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What else happens after that? Yeah.
He goes, the easy route to success. And then it comes. A line that I edited out and put in one of my recent IFS Turbo Living Out Loud mixes. It's Honest John's defining line. I'm talking about the theatre, my boy.
Yeah. Bright lights, music, applause, fame.
I can just as easily change that line to, I'm talking about podcasting, my boy. The easy road to success.
And he leads Pinocchio away. Pinocchio, as we learn, is very easily led. So he's going to take him off to the theatre and make him a star. Jiminy Cricket.
He just says straight. Pinocchio's just straight away like, okay, yeah, fine.
Why not? Yeah, sounds good. I don't know anything. I haven't even been to this school I've been sent to. I didn't know
what to expect, but if you're telling me it's shit, then who am I to disagree? You're more experienced than me. Fine, let's do this thing called theatre.
Yeah, why not?
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jalapeño.
So Jiminy Cricket gets involved and tries to stop it. There's a bit of business with the mallet. The cat.
Oh, these bits, I don't think they had enough of an impact on you. The bit with the fucking mallet, right? Because he says, Honest John says to Gideon, right, well, if we play our cards right, then we'll be on Easy Street. Let's go and get this wooden boy. And Gideon, who's his little accomplice, just fucking creeps up behind Pinocchio and produces an enormous fucking mallet, which he is about to smash Pinocchio over the head with.
Yeah.
Until Honest John gives him the looks of saying, no, we're not doing it that way this time. That's obviously something that they do. They do. That's why he carries a mallet. But he sort of says, no, we're going a different approach. I'm going to, like, hoodwink this boy. I'm going to charm him.
Mm-hmm. And Cricket's sitting on Honest John's hat, and the cat ends up whacking Honest John over the head with the mallet instead, just to try and get a Jiminy Cricket, because they've identified him as a threat
to this
cast iron plan that they've got. Yeah, he is, yeah. Jiminy Cricket's just a fucking cricket. I don't know why he's so important in all of this, but, yeah.
He's just a busy cunt, isn't he? Turns out to sort of involve himself. And he's not, to be honest, as we'll find out as well, he's got a lot to say and he's very judgy, but he's actually of not much practical use at all to Pinocchio. Absolutely. He's just there in his ear the whole time going, what are you doing that for? You should have gone to school. You shouldn't be doing this. Oh, no, you got yourself in a lot of trouble now.
You should have listened to me. I was right all along.
Exactly, he's one of those characters.
He's just a fucking blob of blue tack, basically, with some fucking clothes on. Pinocchio says, I'm going to be an actor, to Jiminy Cricket. And Jiminy Cricket's like, oh, fuck me. so then we see Pinocchio in the show, on stage. The boy without strings, or whatever he's described as. I'm going to be honest. I watched this. I didn't give it complete full attention. I may have got distracted a couple of times. So if there's any gaps in what I'm talking about, you're going to have to just fill in. Because I know you've seen it, what, 7 or 8, 9, 10 times?
Times, yeah.
Yeah. So he's in the show. They've immediately took him to Stromboli and chucked him in a show, which has happened in a massive whirlwind.
I don't think Stromboli's show is particular. Like, Stromboli's not. There's not high standards.
Production values.
No. Yeah, he's just like, all right, what's this? Oh, he's a puppet, but without strings. He's sentient. Right. Yeah, straight in, mate. You're on tonight. Stick him in.
You go in second. Yeah, it's not going to be the blobby panto at Milton Keynes. Let's put it that way. Where's Geppetto? Why is Geppetto looking for him?
The whole problem is that Geppetto just fucking sent Pinocchio off to school without a buy or leave. And now Geppetto's never had a kid before, so he doesn't probably even know about what school hours are. We know that Geppetto's clueless, by the way. He just said, there you go, school's that way. Here's an apple and a book. See you later. So when Pinocchio doesn't turn up, probably he's taken Geppetto quite a few hours to sort of work out that Pinocchio's missing. She's sort of like, oh, I suppose he'll be back from school at some point.
After and you 10, look at probably. Your watch,
it's 4, and you go, maybe he's got detention. Probably got detention. Probably been a cheeky cunt to one of the teachers.
Yeah, because he didn't know the rules.
Yeah. And then it gets to 6, and he's like, oh, maybe he's missed his bus. I don't fucking know. And then it's only when it gets to about 8, he's like, oh, this is getting fucking weird now.
It's like, I'll tell you, I'll give it a half 10. When Newsnight starts, I'll go out and have a look for him. Because I'm not fussed about Newsnight.
It did used to be bad, though, didn't it, Andy? Like, in the 80s, when you were a kid, and they didn't have mobile phones, and you know, remember when people just didn't turn up? And you'd go through those phases of, like, first you'd be a bit annoyed, then you'd get a bit angry, and then eventually you'd get really worried if you were a kid. Like, do you know what I mean? Because there's no way of tracking someone.
No, that was it.
And sometimes it was people wild, just wouldn't fucking turn up at all. And you'd be like, well, maybe they're dead.
You just got to assume they are, haven't you? Yeah.
Well, I had a relative that died when I was a teenager, quite out of the blue. And afterwards, because he was so out of the blue and it was the first person really close to me that had died, I, for quite a few years afterwards, I think it must have traumatised me, because whenever anyone was even a bit late, and I'm not exaggerating here, mate, if someone was a bit late, I would immediately go, in my head, I'd immediately think, well, they're dead.
Oh, Sam.
Because you've had a surprise death, that's like a proper out of the blue death, someone who wasn't ill or particularly old, you think, oh, right, so that's how shit happens. That's what life's really like, is that things are arbitrary. And I just remember sitting loads of places and thinking, oh, hang on, they were supposed to be here 10 minutes ago. Dead.
Well, dead now.
Not like maybe they're dead. I was just like, they're dead.
Definitely dead. Do you still get that?
A little bit sometimes, but I do sometimes think people are dead, but...
go for important work meetings and people turn up. Wow. Oh, they must be dead.
Well, I mean, you know, fucking hell. I mean, my dad, right, he sometimes doesn't, like, return... He doesn't answer the phone for days, like, or any messages for days. Sometimes he's just... I don't know why. He's never explained, but sometimes he'll just like...
That's what he does. Yeah.
As I understand it, I think he just sometimes thinks, fuck that. Do you know what I mean? He's just like, I can't be fucking arsed, right? Which is fair. But, like... people, my brothers, like, they'll like get their fucking knickers in a twist, and I used to get a knickers in a twist because he lives on his own, and people go, oh, he hasn't answered the door or the phone or fucking anything for fucking ages, get round. And in the end, someone would always have to go round and knock on the door. And what was funny, I never fucking did it, right, because I'd cottoned onto this shit years ago. I was thinking, he just fucking goes to ground,
he's just living,
and who knows what his reasons are. But in a way, I respect him for it. He needs a little bit of quiet time, right? Yeah. He's got fucking 6 kids. It must be a pain in the ass, right? But then, like, you know, a few times, like, one of my brothers has had to go around there and literally knock on the door. And then he'll do this. He'll answer the door and just go, hello. Like, really casual. The other amazing thing about my dad is you'll knock on the door day or night. He'll answer the door, like, in a suit and proper shoes on. Like, what's going on here? He hasn't been out for days. He'll be in a really nice suit, smell of a bit of cologne, nice polished shoes. Bit weird. What are you doing? I mean, just hanging around the house like that, yeah? What do you want?
Not to that extent, but, like, old men used to dress like that in suits, didn't they?
Yeah.
Not so much now, but old men would wear suits around the place. They'd go out and about in a suit.
Yeah, I see pictures of my granddad, and he's just always like it. But anyway, so one,
I like a suit.
I don't know whether I should say this, but I'm going to.
Okay. During COVID, just say quietly.
He did one of these disappearing acts, right?
Right.
And what I'm saying is, going back to the thinking people were dead thing. It did bother me for years. I was always thinking people were dead, and then I just sort of had to train myself off of it, because it's non-stop heightened anxiety, and that gets in the way of living out loud, right? So I just had to fucking train myself off of it. And so now I've gone the other extreme, and, like, you know, when I get like this sort of fretting thing, oh, has anyone heard from dad, he's gone missing, I just think 99% certain that he's just just, I mean, like, you know, how many times before has this happened? Why do we always react in the same fearful way and spend 24 hours running around
but that's
freaking
natural,
out?
Isn't it?
I know it is, but you can't allow yourself, you can't allow anxiety to just rule your life. And if you, you know, and it's like almost the definition of insanity if you keep doing the same thing again and again.
It's like the boy you cried wolf, though, isn't it? Because you just worst.
Clearly, one day, I mean, my dad's attitude, if I had this out with him, which I've tried to, he's quite brutal. I'd say something like, yeah, but one day it might be that you need us. And he'd say something like this. Yeah, well, what? If you're saying one day I might die, well, then you're right, I will.
And there'll be no funeral.
Yeah, believe me. And if it's a funeral you're fishing for, then forget it, because I have given my lawyer explicit instructions to have no funeral.
If you're expecting a day off from the daily grind and some kind of party, it's not going to happen.
If you're expecting a spread, as you no doubt call it, then think again. There'll be no dreary spread of curled sandwiches and sausage rolls at my funeral, believe me. Yeah, and so, anyway, no, one time, my brother went round there and he knocked on the door, no answer. He rang on the phone, no answer. So then, right, he had a key. For some reason, I don't know why, he had a key to my dad's house. So he let himself in. And he crept through the house with some trepidation, probably thinking he was going to find my dad dead or something. And he went into my dad's... He was like Goldilocks. He was creeping around. And he eventually crept into my dad's room. And my dad was just in bed, having a nice sleep.
And my, with and his my, suit on.
My brother stood... Yeah. his suit. And an umbrella,
the of the
an
bed.
Umbrella and a briefcase under one arm. And my brother, like, bent down a little bit to sort of hear him breathing, right? And he heard him breathing, and then he thought, right, he's totally alive. He's fine. Fuck, I'm in his house. Sort of thing my dad, like, would really hate. You know, like, he's a man who enjoys, you know, he sort of values his own privacy. That's what this story's all about, in a way. Yeah, right. But, like, people, sometimes relatives don't get that and don't expect it. They think, oh, it must be a problem. There must be a problem. Maybe he's depressed, or maybe he's got a problem. And, like, because people can't conceive the fact that, yeah, or maybe he just is fucking happy just hanging around in his suit reading a book. Right? Do you know what I mean?
Oh God, mate, that sounds so good.
I know. You can relate to this. I knew you could, right? He's just sort of like, I know it's hard for you lot to get your head around that I don't fucking relish just spending all of my time talking to you bunch of cunts, which we are. I mean, yeah, we're not pleasant company. I mean, my sisters are all right, but me and my brothers are not pleasant people to be around. We're annoying, right? My dad's just like, fuck it. I'm not fucking... Just leave me alone for a while, cunts, right? So my brother sort of thought, fuck, he's alive. Oh, no, I'm in his house. Fuck, what if he wakes up? So he crept out really, really quietly, shut the door really quietly, got in his car and drove home. Now, I know my dad doesn't listen to this podcast, so it's fine.
So
but my dad doesn't know that my brother was in his house looking over him. And it's a bit like that famous scene with Paddy Constantine from Dead Man's Shoes.
Dead Man's Shoes, yeah.
Where he says, I was in your house last night. I was standing over you. I could have ended you like that, but I didn't. It's like just like that.
But he does.
I don't think my brother thought about killing my dad. But who knows? I mean, the mind is a strange thing. You know, there are some.
Yeah.
You know, like Freud and other great thinkers on the human mind would claim that all of us have an urge inside to kill our own fathers.
Well, yeah, you find yourself in a position of power, an opportunity like that. No one would blame him.
I think any judge in the land would look sympathetically upon it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that any man given the opportunity to murder their father in his sleep would take that opportunity. And in the eyes of the by the letter of the law, it may be a crime, but in any rational and decent society,
the law. let's put this one down to temporary insanity and all go home. Hurrah!
We can all get away in time for a pleasant lunch. As I understand it, the deceased didn't want a funeral, which is very convenient for everyone involved. So there's no further paperwork to do either.
His case has solved itself.
Another great day for British justice.
Bugs his gavel. Bang, bang, bang. Case dismissed.
Yeah, I've never consciously thought about killing my father, but I do think that there's something in the male psyche in particular.
Who knows
that
what the subconscious thinks about and wants to do. Exactly. Right, I'll tell you what, we'll leave it there.
Okay.
Because we're not going to get much further with Pinocchio at this stage. We'll be back with another one very soon. Maybe we'll get it finished, maybe we won't. Who knows? Thank you. Goodbye.
Right. Take care now, and good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.